This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Daniela. My guests today are Gloria and Joseph Lamorte, a duo, a powerhouse creative team. They are filmmakers. They are documentarians. People that I admire. I've known them for a really long time. They're doing incredible things. And I want to talk to them about them working together and how they got to where they're at, and to thank them for their time.
Wow, what an intro. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's sincere. I kind of wanted to go a little bit, your background, Joseph. We can start with you. Like, what happened? How did you become a producer? And then we'll get to Gloria and how you guys meet.
How I became a producer, I met this woman, and that propelled it all. We actually met each other back in 1988. I was working in a theater as an assistant usher. I was at Old Calcutta on Broadway. She walked into the theater, and I threw her a paper airplane, and the next thing we became friends. We remained very close friends for so many years. And then I was originally in the garment industry, clothing industry. Mm-hmm. She had an idea for a script, and she shared it with me. I said, hey, let's do this. I'll finance it. And the next thing I knew, we had a short film called Details. Mm-hmm. And it sold to HBO very quickly. Which to our surprise, we didn't anticipate a short film making money. And at that point, I was like, "Hey, let's continue this. Let's keep going." And slowly but surely, she drew me into the film business
and to the husband and wife business.
I was always intrigued by the arts, theater and actresses and dances and whatnot, and I put that emphasis on the actresses. So I always found myself, somewhat connected into the field, but never directly connected. But clearly, when this opportunity arose with Gloria, we were just very, very close friends, and for so many years, I have to say, really, a love of her performances and her ability on stage. I mean, that's what really attracted me to the field in so many ways, and wanting to become a part of it.
I love Details. I had not seen it. I didn't know about it. I think it was last week when I was navigating the work that you've done. And Gloria, I have to say, I was very impressed. I was like, wow, you're a wonderful actress. Really, I was completely taken, and I didn't know that part of you. So congratulations. My God, it's never too late, right?
From you, yeah. And it does feel like 100 years ago. All I remember is when I was in fourth grade, I got the chicken pox, and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I'm going through puberty already. I had to be quarantined from my sister. We shared a room, and I always tell the story. I used to watch, Johnny Carson. And I remember there was an actress, telling some story, and at that moment I said, oh my goodness, this is what I want to do, but never really having been exposed to any part of the business when, I was that young. Basically, you think that all you can possibly do is become an actress, and after college, my first thing was, as soon as I graduated, I just went to the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater. I'd never heard about it. But just literally walking up and down, I came upon it on 43rd Street on the training unit. And that's where I met a lot of really wonderful people that I give a lot of credit to my story, the love of storytelling, the confidence, and, you know, this is where I met, you know, during this time, I met, you know, Candido Tirado, mm-hmm. Carmen Rivera, mm-hmm. Gloria mm-hmm. Zelaya, and right. so many others.
Right.
And that really was the foundation, and I pursued acting, and it, you know, really was Joseph knew me around that time, and he was the one that encouraged me to move to Los Angeles. He said, you know, you might limit yourself here. You have a lot of support system. You need to go to LA and basically sink or swim as an actress. So he really pushed me.
Wow.
And I went there with that idea for details. And it was a whole different ballgame there, because there I needed representation. So yeah. while I got representation, I wrote details. And he was very supportive of it. And that's really what, you know, brought us into filmmaking. You know, it was the calling card for my acting career, but I fell in love with writing, and so that film really made a difference for both of us in our careers.
Yeah, I mean, it's really very beautiful, very sad, but I was very impressed. I was like, wow, it opened. It was like a whole new part of you. It was like, wow, this is kind of really cool. And so then from there, you guys grow up together in a sense professionally.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Without, yeah, I you know, a lot of bumps and bruises along the way, and, you know, baptism by fire in certain cases.
Mm-hmm.
But we were clearly up to the challenge. I mean, our first thing, you know, right away, right after details, we wanted to, you know, hey, how do we keep this going? How do we keep this train moving? And initially our thought was, we got involved in one project and it was just too big for us, to chew.
A lot of wonderful lessons learned there.
A lot of lessons learned and stuff. And then that allowed us to, you know, seek out projects that are more in line of what we can provide to help. In it. And that brought us to Washington Heights, which, you know, was a great project we got involved with. Alfredo Davila was the director, and we had great producing partners on it, and it allowed us to grow. And from there, we wind up going into, you know, we wind up getting involved in other smaller projects, both on the producing level as well as the editing, you know, because then we became more of an editing
team.
That's
when we became editors. After Washington Heights, it was such a wonderful experience, and we said, you know, let's start now creating content.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I wrote my second short, which was What's for Dinner, and in consulting with Alfredo, he became a mentor of sorts. We said, Alfredo, we're about to buy our first camera. He, you know, we bought a prosumer.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I guess we only had a couple of dollars to either hire an editor, but, you know, my husband being the man that he is and the producer that he is, he said, hey, let's invest in an editing system. So, you know, we started editing some projects for ourselves, for some friends. We had a project, Love and Laundry.
That went to Sundance. In 2005.
And that really started our relationship with, you know, our wonderful and still continued partner of Paola Mendoza.
Mm-hmm.
Paola Mendoza and Gabriel Noble were looking for editors for their first feature documentary. And they took a chance on Joe and I, and that started, you know, a relationship that continues today.
Yeah, today, now we produce a lot for Paola
and her partner Michael
Skolnick, and you know it really turned out to be a wonderful relationship that, you know, has now, you know, is 12, 13 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So, you know, we're really happy at that, and you know, again, a lot of learning.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the product. You know, both Gloria and I did, you know, neither of us went to film school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we come from different backgrounds. However, we applied those backgrounds into filmmaking, especially, you know, from, you know, I was involved in the garment industry, as they said. And, you know, that's a nickel and dime business. That's you can lose a big order because of a couple of pennies.
Right.
So you really need to manage your time, manage your production, right? And those same principles I applied into when producing a project, and that proved to be really helpful, and also allowing the creative to blossom as much as possible. And the word no doesn't exist in our vocabulary. I think that comes from my garment background.
Really?
Definitely. And I think that's where we really help to nourish certain filmmakers and people that we're working with today that, we just have great things to share with them. And things are really taking off. So we're very happy.
Yeah. So going back to backgrounds a little bit. So Gloria, you mentioned the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater. And then remember when you guys, I called you guys to see if you would be able to do this. I guess it was like segments on the trajectory of Puerto Rican Traveling Theater and Pregones together. And you basically were the ones that recorded Miriam talking about her legacy. And I was thinking about that, when she passed, and it was so crazy. I couldn't get it to like call you, and you guys were like traveling around. But I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, they caught her, you got the story on tape basically.
And so Danella, we cannot, and on a personal level, I cannot, thank you enough for thinking of us. At that point, you knew us as a team. You probably didn't know that, she, her doors, her theater on 47th Street was the first, my first introduction into this world. And when we were on set, and this is what happened. So, I'm in my 20s, it's the beginning of my, acting career, and you don't realize, and, then I moved to LA, I moved back, and I hadn't, obviously you grow and, you move on into new relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen Miriam in years.
Mm-hmm.
So really that opportunity that, that you presented really became very significant and emotional. It was an opportunity to say thank you to her after so many years.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very proud that, what she paved and what she has dreamed about for so many artists came true in my life. And I obviously, there's a lot of artists that happened for.
Right.
But to be able to then direct her, Miriam, look this way. And, so it was really coming full circle. I went there out of college with not an inkling of what was going to become of my life or my career to, be able to ask her to tell us all those stories. And it really has been a highlight of mine. And then, to share it with Joe, as our team and the company that, that we continue to, want to grow. So that was awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking when you mentioned it, I was like, wow, and she got to, we got to do that and hear her. It's, she was a very special person, definitely. And we went to the Maestro Cares gala. It's the foundation that Mark Anthony, the singer, and Henry Cárdenas, your compatriot from Colombia, the great Henry Cárdenas, they run that foundation. And it's for, they raise money to get very poor children, homeless children, abandoned children in orphanages and homes all over the region, Latin America, Colombia, Puerto Rico. Point of the story is that Mark was there, of course, and then also Jimmy Smith was there as a masters of ceremony, and they
right.
and they both had stories about Miriam.
Yes.
They were like, "Well, she played my mother, and I also went to the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater." And then Mr. Smith, he was like, "Well, she played my mother, and I also went to the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater." And it was like, "Look at that! Look at that! What?"
You really are hard pressed, when you do, talk to a lot of people to not have a story. And you know what everybody's feeling, and the feeling is of gratefulness and, mm-hmm. and honor to have, you know, been part of, you know, her journey as well.
And so this is a question to you both. So in this journey that you've sort of created, literally created a life for yourself in film or in the creative arts, in the media arts, out of sheer gut bravado, I mean, how does it feel like? And I guess as parents, you know, what do you impart to your child? Like, are you like, well, you know, you're going to be who you're going to be? You go with the flow? Or is it like still at this, you know, he's still young, but is it like, I remember my parents often telling me, you know, you got to do what you love. And they were very cool like that. And I wonder if that kind of translates for you now.
Since he didn't come with instruction, we... Joe and I often say that, you know, our son is a little bit of a social experiment.
Mm-hmm. that makes
because
sense.
Because of the work that we do, and because we do work from home, even from a very, very young age, he's exposed to a lot. You know, a lot of material. Sometimes. Maybe in retrospect, it's mature material, life material. However, I think Joe and I have accepted that, you know, we don't want to hide our son from life and reality.
Or protect him from himself.
Yeah, protect right. him from himself. Right. You know, I remember very clearly one time the screened adaptation of Soledad by Dominican-American writer Angie Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Angie and I are... you know, have been writing the screenplay. And Emil was very young and, you know, I needed some feedback from Joe and I'm reading the script and Emil's lying in front of us. He's a young little guy. And we're going back and forth and we're reading the screenplay. And then suddenly, you know, we had to reread something back. He goes, oh, Mom, can you skip the part about the ghost this time? Not realizing that he was listening. And it was a ghost, and I guess it was working because it was getting spooky.
Mm-hmm.
So we've sort of treated it like this is what his parents do.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he seems to be extremely proud of us, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, this is what it is. We're raising him within our world and,
yeah.
and meeting wonderful people that we've met. Wow.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, you know, and maybe in lines to your question too, you know, we still have a mortgage today, and you know, it's a struggle, and you know, we're you know, and this is what we do for a living,
mm-hmm.
This is how we put bread on our table,
yeah.
So you know, it, we have to, you know, there's a hustle in it, and we make sure, you know. We always make sure that we walk away from a project knowing that we did the best we can, and as well as hiring the best people we can in a particular production and stuff. As far as advice to ourselves, advice to our son is, you know, we want him to. We want him to learn as much as he possibly can to the best of his abilities and capabilities and, you know, and do whatever he wants to do. You know, there's talk of being a comedian now.
Mm-hmm.
We work a lot with comedians, so he gets,
he gets inspired.
Yeah,
he does. I mean, you know, and
he had a project in school and, you know, part of it was, you know, preparing or thinking about what they'd want to do. And, you know, his project, this was last year, he focused on film editing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different things that he's exposed to.
Yeah.
And I guess by example, ultimately, he knows we enjoy this. He knows there's a lot of work that we do where, you know, we're not getting rich, we're not getting paid. But he sees that there is that work that we're doing. But, you know, whichever one we're doing, we're really enjoying what we're doing. So maybe we haven't had the talk of like, hey, do what you love. Hopefully he's seeing it by example.
Yeah, I
believe so. And I think, you know, I think he's definitely seeing it by example. And I think he also sees the fact that, like, you know, we, you know, no matter what you decide to do, you know,
in life,
I think more so today, you need to roll with the punches, right? You know, media is ever changing. Everything's changing. You know, even your 9-to-5 job has changed. Right.
Yeah.
So I think he sees that. And we're a little bit older, Gloria and I, in the sense of like, you know, being freelancers is definitely a millennial thing. And I think, you know, which is great. I think it helps makes us, you know, Emil seeing this makes him prepared for a future. It's not like you're going to go work for a company and you're going to sit there for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like we saw our parents do, you know, clearly our generation might've been that last generation. And we didn't even go that route because we wind up, you know, I changed fields,
right.
You know, I changed fields in the middle of being successful and stuff in wanting to, you know, pursue this. And I think Gloria, the same thing in the sense of like, you know, you do things to make ends meet. But you know, this drive and this passion that she has and, you know, and she's very fortunate. She had the family behind her to support her. She also had a husband who believed in her, and still believes in her to this day of, you know, of her abilities and her talents. And, you know, so I think, you know, Emil will know that whatever, no matter what he decides to do in his life, he'll always have the support of his parents.
Yeah, I think our job right now is expose him.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, they usually children that are exposed to arts of all kinds or just the matter of business, they really just tend to grow up and be very more mature, and they understand the language of work. And that's, it's kind of a miracle, I think, you know, how that happens.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. And we can safely say that's definitely a meal today.
Yeah. I mean,
you
know. Yeah.
Sometimes we say, hey, we're still working on this. Check this out, whether it's a new show we're getting involved in or whatever. And he'll say, or sometimes when something hadn't gone through sound mix, he goes, oh, just be careful because there's a word that's cut off here. And then at the end, you can't really, we're like, okay, we're going to sound mix.
He already knows.
Like, thank you. We just wanted to share him because it was a really beautiful piece we were very proud of.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came out with some notes. So something's sticking.
Some of the work that you're doing now with Paola involving public service announcements or segments on people learning about immigration and everything that's going on, this debacle of an administration. And does that also kind of bleed into what he's seeing? Only because, you know, I'm thinking about the future of the country here, right? And that he is the future.
Yeah, and, you know, we're just so happy and proud to be working with the kind of work that Paola and Michael, you know, are devoting their craft, their ability, their life to, so that, you know, that they clued us in here is amazing. And yes, these are very, very specific. You know, one of the things that, you know, Emil, we've had the opportunity because of the kind of work that it is, because the work is looking at children as our future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of young people, Emil included, his schoolmates, and a lot of other kids from New York City, et cetera, being part of these wonderful public service announcements with such strong messages. So this is something that we make sure that, you know, that he knows that this is what we're involved in, and he hears them, and you know, whenever possible, he's on, you know, even if it doesn't involve kids, sometimes, you know, we can bring him on set, and he, you know, he sees the commitment from so many mentors and celebrities that become part of this, and the importance of these kinds of messages.
Yeah.
You know, we do try to expose him as well as our own community of what's happening, and you know, and we've been really, you know, a lot of these social impact messages that we're involved in, you know, we've shot in our own hometown. In an immigrant community, Union City in New Jersey is it's always been an immigrant community. We're 85% Latino, of which a good 60 or 70% are Dominican today. It used to be a very large Cuban community. When I was growing up, it was Cuban and Puerto Rican. But, you know, there's a specialness about this community. And you know, we try to, with a lot of the projects that we've been involved in, we've always tried to bring it back home here. And we do it for selfish reasons. We do it for the reasons of, you know, this is a community we love and we love being a part of. And exposure for our son and other children in this. I mean, we've done a lot of the social impact. Most of the kids that are used all come from my son's school. And we do that. And you know, so he knows what we're doing. and we do that, you know, because, you know, this is, you know, it's such a microcosm of what America is today, our community. And so that makes it even more special.
But yeah, where does your lineage come from and how do you come to be raised in this country?
Yeah, I am Colombian. I was 7 years old when I came here. And it's amazing as I get, I'm 53 now. Mm-hmm. And it seems like as of late, I sort of, you know, emotionally, I revisit, you know, those few memories that I have from Colombia. Because, you know, when you're 7 years old, it's sort of limited as to what you remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by seven, I don't know how many friends you have, et cetera. But I came when I was seven with my mother. My father was already here with my mother and two other sisters. And, you know, we left three brothers behind because they had started school. My oldest sister has autism, and at the time, her epilepsy was, you know, was very active. So, in my family's effort to help my parents out, you know, my three brothers, you know, were left behind for a good amount of years. And when I had Emil, and you know, when Emil's 11 now, but when he was 8, I realized, oh my goodness, this is the age that my parents had to leave one of my brothers. And, you know, the other two were just a little bit older. And I realized that sacrifice, that pain for my parents and for, you know, for my siblings. We were reunited later on. And I think that's kind of why I attribute, you know, we never fight, you know, mm-hmm. I don't remember ever fighting with any of my brothers or my sisters. Very early on in life, I knew what it was not to be with them. So I sort of came from that background, that those were my beginnings. Those were my first, you know, experiences here in the U.S. My parents were factory workers, two jobs at a time. And now, you know, when Emil needs help, you know, with homework from Joe and from me, and I say, how did I get through school? Because I knew my parents couldn't help me. They were either working, they didn't know the language. So that was my background. I grew up in Hackensack, New Jersey, went through the school system there, which was wonderful. And wonderful, I say, because it was a good amount of, there was Latinos, African-American. It was a pretty... a diverse community. So that was my experience as a child. I went to school at William Patterson University, and that was it. Now that I realize, like when you're going through it, I guess you don't realize, wow, how sad, you know, I didn't grow up with my brothers, et cetera. So it's more almost now, you know, at the age that I am in retrospect, now that I have a child, and I realize the sacrifices that our parents did make. But, you know, I have to say it's been a happy ending at the end. You know, I was mm-hmm. just on a road trip. I flew down to Florida to help my parents drive back because they're snowbirds. So, you know, today they're retired. They have a place to visit in the summertime. I'm sorry, in the wintertime. They worked hard, and you know, the fruits of their labor has been, you know, they're comfortable today, and they have a loving family. So, you know, I'm just absolutely grateful for how, you know, everything turned out. And yeah, just, you know, trying to keep my son connected to them. And you know, because he only knows abuelo and abuela going in there in the house. They go for walks. And I was like, chill. And
yeah.
They go to a place in Miami and they travel to Colombia.
Right.
They're a little bit show-offy right now. But that didn't come easy. That, you know, nothing was given to them. But, you know, so I want him to know that. I want him to know there was a lot of hard work behind all that.
No, I mean, you know, the heart that they put in it, you know. And then you see what's going on today and it breaks your heart, right? Just, it's like, what?
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
So many decent people out there are doing the right thing and wanting the right thing. And
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's like my heart just comes all the way to my throat. And what about you, Joseph? Where do you come from?
I'm a very proud white guy from Union City, New Jersey. Yo soy blanquito, yo soy gringo. I know it, but you know, very happy. But, you know, I grew up in a community that, you know, predominantly was Cuban when I was a kid, and. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really embraced the culture in so many ways. And I think Gloria had that experience with when she came, embracing the Puerto Rican diaspora mm-hmm. here and really submerging herself in that. Mine was kind of more of like, if I wanted to eat, I had to learn how to speak Spanish quickly, the mm-hmm. kid, especially ordering from the stores. My parents were laymen. They worked in jobs all their lives. My mom just recently retired. She's 83 years old. After many years of trying to
get her to retire.
Right, right.
She grew up in an Italian-American family. And, mm-hmm. Very stereotypical. A lot of yelling in the house. You know, I got to say, like, I know that a lot of our work, a lot of our work is Latino-centric,
mm-hmm.
and I think for Gloria, there's the obvious explanation. She is Latino. For myself, I think because I grew up so much a part of the culture,
mm-hmm.
so much a part of the Cuban culture in a way. I think I really embraced it, and you know, find ourselves doing a lot of projects having to do with, with the Latino experience, whether it be Get Some Puerto Ricans in the Bronx, a new project that we're involved with, Henry, young Dominican American, trying to make things right in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are experiences that I can relate to and recognize. Quick little anecdote. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, with our film, our first feature film, Washington Heights, we had the opportunity to go to the Havana Film Festival. And, you know, growing up with some very hardcore Cubans, it was a dilemma for me to, you know, to go to Havana. Had and stuff, you know, the families that, you know, I ate at that dinner table. I heard the stories of separation and, you know, just so many things. And so it was very difficult for me. And now this is coming from a person, you know, our politics are left of left. So even with that being said, you know, it was still hard because of the emotional attachment and stuff that I have inside my community here and inside with the people that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
All to be said is we wind up going to Havana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anxious to go again.
Right.
And stuff. And we're so damn happy that this embargo is finally coming to a close.
Yeah, God, I hope it finishes.
Yes.
I just want to add something, you know, regarding Joe and you know, the sense of community, et cetera. When we lived in Manhattan on 48th and 8th when I got pregnant, and we were lucky enough to, the teacher, his science teacher from high school,
biology
teacher from high school, was selling her house, which was two doors over from the house that he grew up in.
Wow.
So we're basically living where, you know, with our son Emil. There are still neighbors that remember him at that age, five, six, seven. So it's it feels really, this feels very much like home.
Yeah.
This is like I said, you know, the neighbors across the street, you know, oh, se parece Joey cuando era chiquito, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We have Maria next door still yelling at
him. Yeah. We have the woman that tortured my husband when he was playing ball is not torturing my son, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, that's amazing. How lucky.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, let's get into this Get Some. I've told you, because I think this guy is like amazing. He's really funny. How did you meet?
Sonia was a friend with Gloria for many years, or and knew each other and stuff. But they did. They were doing a small little, like what they refer to as shorties. These little snippets of online of sketches, kind of things that they were doing. And
I just want to say by they is Sonia Gonzalez Martinez, Tammy Cubillet, and Angela Lozada.
So when I, you know, they were shooting a couple of things, and I volunteered to be a PA on their set to help them out because I thought their shit was funny and it was good.
Yeah.
And with that, they had an idea on actually to do a short film, and I kind of turned it around and said, hey, instead of going into a short film. What about developing a web series, or, you know, the idea of their web series? You know, they had an inkling for a series, but what about doing it as a web series? And they went for it, and, you know, we produced it the first year out, and then the second season, we became more involved in the creative, and Gloria was wound up writing and directing one of the episodes. But yeah, it was, our involvement with them first again, just out of, appreciation.
And it was only
for their
you. It was your love for the work. Cause I knew Angelo, Tammy and Sonia from some, I don't know, 20 some odd years ago, but it was really Joseph who, on his own, rediscovered what they were doing. And, you know, we've seen since become, you know, a really great team. We've written a spinoff of Get Some called Trinelio Get a Job, again with Tammy and Angelo as the lead, because they do have amazing chemistry, timing.
Right.
They're super talented. And, you know, we're now also involved. We were producing their radio show, Lozada Lowdown Live, which is now going to be a live show at Gotham, Lozada Lowdown Live.
At the Gotham
Comedy Club. So, you know, that's a team that we continue to write with, create with, produce with, you know, just super talented people with a lot of energy. And, so happy to be part of that team.
Yeah.
Besides, working with, sometimes working with Paula, the material is very heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So, we're grateful for it, but, to balance it out, I like the comedy aspect of working in that field. So we do, I do push that a little bit more with Gloria, you know, being involved with, you know, Tammy, Sonia, and Angelo. And then also just most recently on a new project that we're working with.
New web series.
New web series and stuff with Al and Alfredo. So, you know, we're really happy, you know, and want to continue laughing.
You feel brave. You feel accomplished.
I think now, I out of, you know, if had you asked that question a year ago, mm-hmm. I would have said to you, you know, listen, this is a struggle. We're still, you know,
yeah.
But you know, now, you know, we make phone calls, we get answers. You know, we pitch things.
Yeah.
We're heard. Like, you know, so we're in a different place than we were a year ago. We're in a different place than we were 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and a different place 10 or even, you know, now I can't believe it. It's like 17 years we're in this business. Really coming into our own at this point, and we pitch ourselves as creative producers because we're there for that. And you know, the great thing is the playing field has become a little bit easier to get onto, I think, out there as compared to many years ago. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't come easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we apply a lot of the, I guess, practicalities, you know, into getting things done and work and stuff. So
even working as a, you know, we obviously have very different strengths, and I've learned so much about Joe in terms of how do you write an email? How do you follow up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. And creatively, you know, he's become my creative partner. You know, things that, you know, I'm writing, you know, now I have to credit him. Because I, you know, I think we both, you know, like he said a little while ago, you know, we've become a really well-oiled machine. And, you know, that was not always the truth. You know, we were still bumping and bruising, learning. We continue to learn. But I think creating that path and that direction is just so much more, you know, much more clear.
Yeah, sure.
And I think because, you know, now more than ever, we're offered a lot of things. You know, we're offered projects. And, you know, we pass on certain projects, and certain projects we say, hey, we want to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And we go forward. You know, I guess to apply it to, listen, when Entre Nos came out,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were getting calls all the time. You know, so, you know, hey, I got this idea for a film, blah, 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 you know, or, but, you know, we weren't sure how to help people because we were just figuring it out ourselves.
Right.
At that time. And now we have a clear understanding, and we enter into agreements knowing what our roles are going to be. And we make it clear from the outset. You know, hey, we want to be creative in this. We're not going to be just the pencil pusher here. You know, we want, our goal is to make sure that this, you know, this gets out, this gets seen, this gets produced, this gets money. You know, all those are key into us. Because going back to one of our my first comments into this, this is how we make our living. This is how we're putting bread on the table. So, you know, we have to be able to roll with the punches and you know, and also show our worth inside of a project.
Mm. That's so beautiful. And then also feel your self-worth inside of you.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right.
You know, it makes going to bed a lot easier and waking up and looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
In the morning. I share this a lot with my wife at times, or maybe I used to. You know, I had the opportunity, you know, I was bidding for an order, a clothing order, a production order. This couple of, you know, quite a few years ago. And I even brought her dad to Bangladesh with me. I was doing production in Bangladesh at that time, garment production I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a very large order, and you know, I needed to logistically work things out while there, and you know, her dad came along for the ride, basically. But you know, it was you know, and I'm not begrudging anybody making a living from that industry. It's, you know, not at all. And it creates opportunities for people, you know, especially where the literacy rate of a country is down or something. These, you know, there's good things about the clothing industry that happens. I don't want to disparage it completely. But at the same time, it's an industry that follows the cheapest labor.
Right.
And when you're following the cheapest labor, that means you're going to go into some very poverty-stricken places, and Bangladesh being one of them. I know I sleep a lot better knowing that, you know, that I'm not doing that business anymore. Not that I was exploitative, but, you know, it's the nature of the beast in that business. And you know, that's a hard thing to come by and understand. And I know it's one of the main reasons why I'm happy I'm out of that business.
Right. Well, God, that's a big relief, I would say.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people some people don't come to meet themselves at that point. Never, you know, or maybe they think about it and they didn't do anything about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could see, I, you know, just speaking firsthand, I could see the listen, everybody, you know, has a mortgage here or has bills to pay or kids to raise.
And mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you know, you got to feel comfortable, you know, how you're making money.
Yeah.
And stuff. And
it changed your lifestyle.
And it changed my lifestyle quickly. You know, this industry, meaning the film industry, is a struggle financially, but emotionally, it's not the struggle that I think the garment industry was for me. There was a lot of emotional struggles that I dealt with that I think, you know, this frees me up and allows me to be creative too. I mean, you know, you know, to have the, you know, to have the creative input and working with some talented people, you know, just makes you feel great and you know, really happy about the work that we're achieving.
Yeah. Becoming an editor to becoming a writer. Do you feel like you can call yourself all of it, or do you identify yourself now more as an editor or a writer?
That's always difficult because, when I was acting, doing commercials, etc., I had to keep my hair a certain way, blah blah blah. You know, when Entre Nos came around, it's sort of when I made that decision, but I don't think it was an emotional or mental decision yet. Of like, okay, I'm not acting anymore. I'm writing, directing. This is my goal now. And I don't have to color my hair anymore. My husband wants the gray, you know. So it's about identity. And I think it's very difficult when, you know, as an independent filmmaker, I learned a lot editing. I learned a lot about writing through editing. But at some point, you know, my storytelling got extremely strong through editing. And most of my editing work was documentary. Like I said, you know, my first one was Paola's. And then there were quite a few other ones, a couple of other features that, you know, storytelling got strong. I was like, okay, so then, you know, I'm no longer an editor, but it's sort of like, it's very gray when I no longer call me an editor, myself an editor. Then the technology got away from me because really, you know, editing is a lot of understanding the technology. So, you know, I'm kind of adding a new title to my resume.
Mm-hmm.
I was just offered a position to teach screenwriting at the City University.
Yeah.
City College of New York.
Uh-huh.
So I'm now having another title, but it's all within, you know, the writing, the storytelling, the creative part. So I think I let go of titles a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, being, writing, creating, sort of, you know, letting that guide me. Because, yeah, titles can be tricky.
Yeah, no, I agree. They can be tricky, but, you know, they're there for a reason, right?
Absolutely.
They're there for a reason, and we do have to, in a sense, ID ourselves in some way or another.
Yeah, I mean, you know, working with the team, with the Get Some team, you know, that's when I went back, you know, back to, you know, I directed Dominic Colón's short film for HBO. That was wonderful. Then, you know, with the team, with the Get Some, I was able to, Joe said, write and direct an episode. And then, you know, the spinoff Trina and Leo, I've also been writing and directing there. So, so I guess the answer is a hyphenation. Yeah. Directing and, you know, working with Joe. Now I feel like, you know, like a true producer. Before I didn't feel that I could say I was a producer. But you know, I feel as of late that I can, you know, add that as well to my title.
When we approach anybody, you know, or when we're approached by somebody new, getting involved in a project, you know, we lay it out on the table right away. We're, you know, our thing is, you know, we're transparent, and we want to make sure that, you know, there's always an understanding when we get involved with somebody or a group on a new project. You know, hey, we're here because, you know, we want to be here.
Yeah.
You know, we're not taking things only, you know, out of necessity. We're taking things that we believe in, and we're working with people that we believe in. You know,
especially the projects that are in development. You know,
exactly.
There is no money behind them right now. There's no, you know, and it's in development to take them to a place of you know, a financial gain, because we, you know, we all want to get paid.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, so those are things that are important to us. And you know, and as far as the titles goes, I got to say that, you know, Gloria really, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, Gloria is an amazing producer. And, you know, the creative, you know, she's always possessed. Without a doubt. But now from a producing aspect of, like, you know, making sure that you know, that everything runs well and on a timely fashion, she pulls her weight. She knows that shit now, and she knows it good. And you know, really proud of her and stuff. And clearly, it's a title that she can, you know, wear with pride. And not, you know, not at all. It's not a BS term at all.
No, I'm aware. And finally, just to close out, I mean, there's a lot of, it feels like there's a lot of obvious mutual respect. And where does that sense of the both of you, that each are so aware of the both of you, do you practice it? Where does it come from? Do you think it's parental? You seem to each other very aware of one another, and that I don't always see that.
I'll speak for myself. I told Joe I kind of fell in love with him early on when we met. You know, I found that he worked hard and he played hard.
Mm-hmm.
I just never met anybody like him. I didn't have that example in my home. You know, I'm sure my dad, you know, with an education, because he, you know, had very basic, maybe, I don't know, maybe elementary education. I'm not sure if it was that far. You know, my father worked really hard with, you know, to support his family. So Joseph was, you know, as my friend when I met him, you know, just out of college, he was the first person I met, male, that I knew, you know, closely and got to, you know intimately. His work ethic, the level of responsibility he was able to tackle and how he was able to deal with things. So that was sort of a first impression. So my admiration comes from knowing that. And he was just so much fun. So yeah, he really lived the term work hard and play hard. So, and that admiration for me, for him, has never, it's never, you know, wavered. You know, and I still have it today, and I saw how he transitioned to being a filmmaker. He brought, you know, all those, you know, tools with him. So that's where it comes from for me, you know, and it was from the very beginning when I met him. He was a young man running a very, very large company. Mm. So I, you know, I didn't know that happened, you know, being so young, you know, yeah. I met him as a guy that I thought was cute and fun. And then I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
You know, he also, you know, he's in charge of a lot of stuff. So that admiration came from the beginning, and, you know, it remains the same in, you know, in the work that we're doing today.
Yeah. I guess for myself, I saw Gloria's talent. Very, she was young, and, you know, she at the time she was with Shaman, a theater group. And I remember her coming out on stage as a cat. When I saw her come out on stage, I didn't see Gloria. I saw a cat.
Aww.
And I saw a cat being a pain in the ass to a guy who was lonely.
Aww.
And you know, I was touched, and you know, I you know, there was a little write up in the New York Times about it, about the Shaman show, and there was a picture of Gloria in it, and I was just like, wow, this woman can retire me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I believed in her from then to today, and even stronger today. And, you know, she amazes me in her ability to tell a story. She, you know, we're asked a lot to give feedback, and when we work with somebody, we know the importance of feedback.
Yeah.
And through that, you know, I learned to share my inner thoughts and feelings about something because of Gloria and because of her ability to tell a story and do it so well. I just find that I just always believed in her. I don't know how else to tell it. And you know, we've only been married. Well, I'm not only been married. We've been married now
15 years,
but we've known each other for 30. And you know, and we dated only for a couple of months when we first started out, you know, and
all that time between was just
and all that time in between was, we were just close friends, platonic too. I wasn't even hitting that, or
that was hard to get.
Yeah, really short and hard to get.
I love it.
You know, it was more of like, you know, really just, I don't know. I she says that she fell in love with me early on. I know I fell in love with that person on stage immediately. And again, I thought that we can have something special. And lo and behold, many years later, we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm happy to see all these things happening for both of you. I'm really happy that you have your love, the love of your child, the love of your family, and the love for your work. And you're one of the people that give me strength. And I want to acknowledge that. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for thinking about us for this. This is really wonderful.